We're in conversation with Dr. Mick Bhatia, Scientific Director of the McMaster Stem Cell and Cancer Research Institute in the Michael G. DeGroote School of Medicine. He's a professor in the Department of Biochemistry and Biomedical Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences at McMaster University. And Dr. Bhatia, I wanted to turn to the second study that was done recently in Stem Cell, the March 6th issue, that looked at transferring or converting stem cells into blood cells. And my understanding is that this was the first demonstration of this process. My first question, and I guess an obvious question, is how did you discover this particular process?
So it's actually a kind of an interesting story. So other people have shown that these pluripotent cells have blood cell potential. The problem is that if we're going to use that process to either understand blood development or use that process to transplant those blood cells into patients that can't find a bone marrow transplant. And that's mm-hmm. the pragmatic use of this and the important use of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up with efficient methods. And the problem is that pluripotent cells can form 250 different cell types. So how do we coax those cells to produce one cell type in a very efficient way? And what we decided to do was sort of take a developmental approach. So we know that very early in mammalian development, mammals, specifically in the mouse, where we understand a little bit more about early development, and for obvious ethical reasons, we don't understand this as well in the human, mm-hmm. but we predict it's very similar, that when blood cells first form in utero, we all start off as a sperm egg and a fertilized zygote, and once that moves ahead in utero, we know that blood cells emerge, and when they do emerge and develop, there's a protein called WNT, W-N-T. And these WNT proteins are a family of proteins that are produced by genes in our bodies that are absolutely seem to be there in abundant levels when blood cells are forming. So we simply addressed the hypothesis. We said, boy, if these WNTs are genes that are conserved all the way from fruit flies to humans, and they happen to be present in large quantities, coincidentally, when blood is first forming during development, we wondered if, by using these proteins, could we encourage these pluripotent cells to differentiate, to become blood cells in a more efficient, controllable manner.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that was the hypothesis. Now, unfortunately, these things take a long time. Science is generally very slow and methodical.
Right.
And after 4 years of study, we did discover that these WNT proteins, and there's actually 17 different kinds, but we found that two of them that we tested were very important in getting blood cells to form from these pluripotent cells. But what was interesting was they acted at two different periods of time. One acted very early when the cells were first making their decisions of what to form. You know, they had 250 options to them, and now mm-hmm. they were choosing blood. And then another WNT protein acted that once that decision was made, it actually increased the number of those cells, proliferated them, grew them, once they decided to become blood. So that two-pronged use of these proteins called WNT, the first one's called WNT11, and the other one's called WNT3, allowed us to come up with our most efficient method of forming blood from pluripotent stem cells.
So how did you design the study? You had these proteins. How did you then, what process did you create to see this through?
So it was, you know, a lot of people, I think in the study, I would love to say to you that we were very strategic and looked at things like gene expression as the cells started differentiating. But these kinds of studies, because they take a long time, and we literally had to do it by trial and error,
mm-hmm.
essentially taking these pluripotent cells, taking candidate WNT proteins that we had, and exposing those stem cells at different periods of time, 2 days and then removing them, and then waiting another week to see what happened, adding them for 4 days and then waiting a week to see what happened, adding them for 7 days, and in different combinations. So once we analyzed all that data, and then more importantly performed all those experiments, we arrived at being able to connect the dots, if you will, and show which WNT proteins,
mm-hmm.
played a role at what period of time during differentiation of these pluripotent stem cells. And so it was, I guess my crude answer was just literally by brute force,
mm-hmm.
empirically going through. Once we knew when they were acting and which ones were acting, then we could refine the experiments to understand the mechanism, which is asking a simple question, which is, how do they act? And that turned us to these very, I think, the most important part of the study, which is this Wnt11. Surprisingly, and we didn't think this before, these stem cells make decisions of what cell type to be very, very early on. We used to think that we needed to add proteins to get neural cells from stem cells later on.
Right.
In terms of the blood, and we think this applies to other differentiated cell types and lineages, the decision actually happens within the first 12 to 24 hours, which is surprising because the growth for differentiation takes almost 3 weeks in a dish.
Hmm.
So I guess in our head, the analogy is sort of looking at, you know, our children there are people that are going from high school to university. You know, you think that they've got options open to them, and maybe they're going to go to history, maybe they're going to science, and then they explore the options in high school and maybe in the first year of university, and then they make a decision. It turns out that decision, in our case, the analogy is stem cells making blood, that decision happens way back in daycare.
Wow.
We just don't know it. And I think that changes things moving forward because it suggests that if you want to really effectively produce cells that you want to transplant, you have to encourage those cells very early on when they're stem cells. And that itself was a surprise over and above just the use. We use the model of blood formation, but we are now collaborating with others and been able to show this also for other cell types, specifically neural, that neural decisions to become that cell type and not another from a stem cell happen within hours.
So it seems like what you are doing is literally figuring out the code or the sequence or the message that is required to generate and get the cell to change from one to another, but learning where in time it happens, what message has to be given at that time. And as you mentioned, it's sort of a brute force effect. You send a message in, see what you get back, and if it works, it's great. If it doesn't, you try another message. And by building this up, you then, with that knowledge, we'll then use that to develop a better understanding of the mechanism in place and how those proteins actually do this as well.
Absolutely. And the goal at the end of that is that by understanding the mechanism in which proteins is, we're trying to take these pluripotent stem cells and use them to form mature cells that we can use for transplantation. Mm-hmm. And I think that is our final goal. This is where we're leading to. But currently the bottleneck in regenerative medicine is understanding this very detailed, complex, integral process.
Dr. McBhatia is Scientific Director of the McMaster Stem Cell and Cancer Research Institute in the Michael G. DeGroote School of Medicine, Professor in the Department of Biochemistry and Biomedical Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences at McMaster University. And Dr. Bhatia, I'd like to thank you very much, and I'd like to have you come back and follow up, because as you've mentioned, this is an ongoing learning process and understanding the mechanisms that lead to stem cell conversion into other cells and the therapeutic and clinical implications down the line. And I appreciate all the time you've given us today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed myself.